Can I add my welcome to Joel? I'm also called Joel. If there's any newcomers here this week, I'm the vicar. My name is Joel Edwards. You're very welcome. For regulars, you'll know from time to time we have a mini prayer meeting, a 10 or 15 minute, 10 minute meeting really, just at the front here after church, and we're doing that again today, praying about three significant topics in the particularly concerning the denomination, the affiliation of churches we're part of, the Church of England, but more broadly there's some national issues that we're praying about concerning false teaching, the lack of people applying to be ministers, and problems with the way churches are not being accountable. Church has been in the news again this week because people are not being accountable, so we need to pray about these issues. So you're all welcome to that. But now let's look at the living word of God. Christians believe we find the living word of God that endures forever in the Bible. I'm going to read from chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. This is Jesus speaking. These are his words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and didn't help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open. We're going to be thinking about it together because it's an all-age talk to help more of us follow. I've got some images and my board to put out. So whilst I'm putting my board out, if there's any young people who'd like to come to the front so they can see, there's a whole row of seats here that you can take. Bring a Bible if you can read. So do come, the youngsters, right to the front. Lucas is coming forward. Bring a Bible if you can read. Great, well done, you two. Nice to have some people who want to see. So I've got these out. Good. So that hopefully the older people will be able to see from where you're sat. So you should be able to see Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through to the end. That's what we're looking at. So Jesus uses a word picture about a shepherd. It's the end of a long, hard day for a shepherd in the Middle East. It's a hot place, and he's tired and sweaty, and he's worked a lot, but he can't go home and have his dinner yet. There's one more thing he's got to do. He can't leave the goats out. Because apparently if you leave goats out at night, it can get a bit cold at night. they get shivery cold. It's really cold weather here today, isn't it? I don't think it gets this cold. Karen, you've been in the Middle East. It gets this cold. It can get this cold. Okay, so that's no good for goats. Sheep are all right. Sheep have got thick woolly coats, but the goats have to be gathered in and kept together, or maybe put into a shed, so that they can be warm. So the shepherd, what does he do? He sorts them out into two groups. The sheep onto the right side and the goats on the left in the story. How does he know which is which? How does he separate them? It's because they are two different kinds of animals. The sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Puts them in different places. That's a very ordinary thing in that country. It's a very ordinary thing. Perhaps you youngsters, you might have to do a very ordinary job at school. Sort out the pencils. You'll sort out the coloured pencils into one box and the ordinary pencils into another box. How do you know which is which when you're sorting out the pencils? How do you separate them? They are two different kinds. And you put the ordinary pencils in one box and the coloured pencils in another box because they're different kinds. Those are very ordinary jobs. For a shepherd to sort out his animals, for children to sort out pencils in the classroom. But Jesus uses those ordinary things to help us understand something that is extraordinary. In fact, it will only happen once ever in the whole of history. It's a once only thing. And it's said in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Son of Man is an Old Testament name for Jesus, when he will rule over all nations. So I'll put a crown up there. Verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So we see, like we've seen in the last 3 weeks on Sunday mornings, all of history is about Jesus. This is only going to happen once ever. It's not something you can sort of miss and think, oh, well, I'll go next year. Or watch it on the catch up on the video. We will all be there, and it will happen only once. The shepherd separates the animals. What will the Son of Man separate? What's the Son of Man going to separate? Not animals. What's he going to separate? People. All the people. Why would we think Jesus would do that? You know, he doesn't explain why we would think he would do that, but we know from the Bible that Jesus is the answer to all God's promises about a great king, the Son of Man. Those promises come true. His enemies killed him, but God made him alive again. And Jesus' friends saw that. It really happened. That shows Jesus is the king who will judge into two groups. One kind will go to his right-hand side. So that the right-hand side for him, the special place, like the right-hand man has a special place. The other will go to the left. It will happen once. And it says all the nations will be there. For this deciding, for this separating. There we go, lots and lots of people. The Chinese will be there, all of them. The Indians, all of them. All the Nigerians, all the Ghanaians, all the British, every nation, all the people will be there. People of all different religions will be there. The Muslims, the atheists, the Christians, the Sikhs, the Hindus, every person. It's not just the believers in Jesus. All people will be there. And he's going to separate them into two groups. Not lots of different groups. There's only going to be two groups. The right-hand side and the left-hand side. How did he know? Where are they going to go? Is it because of the colour of their skin? Is it because of the language they speak? Is it because they've been to church enough? How does he know which is which? How does he separate them? Well, like with the sheep, like with the goats, like with the pencils, he says they are of two different kinds. Jesus explains how it's going to happen. The king says one group of people will go somewhere good. Let's see in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." The Bible sometimes uses the word life. Life in its fullest sense, what we were made for living. The living we were made for. And then he says, why? Why will they have that great inheritance? It's because they gave him food. They gave him drink. They welcomed him. They clothed him. They visited him. Or they came to him when he was in prison. And what do they say when Jesus tells them that in verse 37? Here's a question for you. What's the answer? What do they say when he tells them that in verse 37? They ask him, when did we do that? We don't remember doing that. They're surprised. When did we do that for you? And the king says in verse 40, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Brothers or sisters, in the gospel accounts, when Jesus uses that word, he's talking about the people who listen to him, his followers, believers. He's saying true believers will care for each other. You see, there's someone helping someone else. I think maybe is the orange person helping the green? Maybe they're helping each other. But true believers will help each other. And then the same thing happens for the second group. They will be sent somewhere very hard, very difficult. What does it say will happen to them? Look at verse 41. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That's a terrible thing that will happen to them. And then he says, why? It was because they didn't give him food or drink. They didn't welcome him. They didn't clothe him. They didn't welcome him. They didn't clothe him. They didn't look after him when he was sick or in prison. And again, they are surprised. What do they say in verse 45? No, sorry, what did they say in verse 44? They're surprised. What do they say? When was that? When did we clothe you or feed you or visit you or look after you? And it's the same answer. Sorry, when didn't we? When didn't we feed you? When didn't we help you? When didn't we visit you? And Jesus says the same thing, verse 45. I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, my followers, you did not do for me. Jesus' little ones are his disciples, the people who will listen to him, his followers, believers. People who do not believe in Jesus will not care for his people. They don't care for Jesus' people. And the place they go to, one of the ways the Bible describes it is a death that goes on forever. So those are the two kinds that Jesus will separate all humans everywhere through all history into. Two kinds. And it'll only happen once. So Jesus doesn't say to the people who go to his right, he doesn't say, "You've kept yourself to yourself, you've not been a nuisance for others, you've worked hard and succeeded, that's a good life, well done." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "You're the kind of person that believes I will do great things for you. You've had faith for blessing. Well, you deserve a place." He doesn't say that. He says, "You are my friend. And I can see that from the way you've treated my people. That's the kind of person you are. And then at the end, the Bible says the two kinds of people will be separated, verse 46. Then they will go to eternal punishment, the ones who never did anything for Jesus' people, but the righteous to eternal life. So Jesus is coming back, he says. How do we get ready? It's not just by being kind to all the people there are. Jesus does tell us we should be kind to all humans while we wait for him to come back. That is right. But this is about something else. Jesus is coming back. How do we get ready? This is not just about being kind to other believers. Jesus does tell us we must have special care for those who are Christians. That is right. But that is not what this is about. It's about something else. Jesus is coming back. How do we get ready? This is about loving Jesus. A true believer in Jesus will care for his people because we love him. And because we love him, we will love his people. Did you see they were surprised? They hadn't been doing it because they thought, Jesus will see this. They'd just done it anyway. Because they love him. Jesus' brothers or sisters, they're his disciples, the people who listen to him, his followers, believers. And true believers will care for each other. Jesus is coming back. We must be ready. So, what are some lessons for us today? Four lessons. Number one, all of history is about Jesus. He is the person who will decide where we will be forever. You think about how simple it is to sort out the pencils in a box. Put them in the ordinary pencil box or the coloured pencil box. Jesus will do that for all humans. No one else can do that, but Jesus will do that. Number two, we must not think that we're the ones who will decide what our life is about or what our life must be. We do not have to go on a hunt to find out who we really are. We do not have to make up who we are and what we're going to become. Jesus decides. He will look at us and send us to one of two directions. Number three. We are always asking, what does it say in the Bible about how much I have to do? Jesus is interested in what kind of person you are. We're always saying, how much have I got to do? But Jesus says, what kind of person are you? He says to the people when they are gathered before him, what they have done shows they are his people. He doesn't say, you've done enough and you haven't done enough. He says, you are the right kind and you are the wrong kind. You have shown that you belong to my Father's kingdom because you have loved me, and you've loved me by caring for my people. Got my last sheet. And the last point, number four. What is it that makes someone like the ones that Jesus will welcome into the kingdom of his Father? It's the people who know all of history is about Jesus. We know that. We know Jesus is going to come back and make everything new. We trust that he is giving us new life in his family. And we find that his teaching makes sense of life. It's like the light that's coming in. Some of you are having to hide your eyes from the light, but the light helps us see. God's word is like a light. It helps us see. We know God. And we know that he will deal with all wrong in the world. We trust that. All the bullies and the criminals will not get away with it. All the sickness and the loneliness and the hatred will be got rid of when Jesus comes back. And so we love him. Those are the people who will go in this direction. The people who love Jesus. And because we love him, it's natural for us to care about his people. We're pleased when we meet with others who are believers of Jesus. I can't say any more really than just what an extraordinary thing it is, isn't it? That there will be a man who will be on a throne and all humans will go in two directions. That's what the Christian message claims. It's extraordinary. It should really, really deeply change us if we accept that. So let us pray that we accept that message and that we are ready. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we know from the Bible that Jesus is your promised King. You raised him to life again, and so he will be the one who will separate all people into two groups. We thank you that now we know about him, our life makes so much more sense. Your word is a light for our lives, and Jesus is the King that we love, and the Saviour that we want to serve. Please help us who are believers to look forward to the day we will meet him. Please, for anyone here who's not yet a believer in Jesus, help them to think hard and to change their minds. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.